Hello and welcome aboard this podcast of RTÉ Radio 1's maritime programme Seascapes, which is presented and produced by Marcus Connaughton. You can email the programme seascapes@rte.ie. Hello and welcome aboard Seascapes, your maritime programme. This week, we feature a man steeped in our maritime traditions and heritage. His father was the captain of the lightship Iarnaigh with the Commissioners of Irish Lights, and when this seafarer was born, his family lived on the vessel. That seafarer is Captain Dermot Gray, who is the master of the Grainne Whale, the flagship vessel of the Commissioners of Irish Lights. We met up a while ago and Dermot told Seascapes how he came to have a love for the sea and a lifelong connection with our lighthouses and their traditions, and the role performed by the Grainne Whale.
Well, Marcus, it was by chance that I got involved with Irish Lights, in that my father was a ship's officer in Irish Lights and was captain of one of our ships called the Iarnaigh. When I was born, the Iarnaigh was a lighthouse tender based in Castletown Bear, West Cork. We were a Dublin-based family, but my father and mother went off to Castletown Bear. I was just 6 months old. They had no house there. They had to go and find a house to rent from the period my father was working on the Iarnaigh. So what they did was, maybe for financial reasons as well, they decided to use the captain's cabin on the Iarnaigh. My cot was the bottom drawer in his cabin. So I lived in the bottom drawer in his cabin from the age of, 6 months to a year old, when it wasn't really suitable, to tell you the truth. I mean, the weather in West Cork is bad, and I say I don't remember it, but my mother certainly does. Been out to the Bull Rock, Fastnet, Skelligs, Tearucht. Weather awful. But I never got seasick, apparently. And so from when I can remember, I have been involved with Irish Lights, but going to sea. That was really my start out in Irish Lights. Moving on, we actually left and went back to Dublin again about a year after that, but returned to Castletown Bear. And it was actually quite funny, because I was in Castletown Bear, my father captain of the Iarnaigh, when she was sold. Helicopters came into Irish Lights, and the tenders were used mainly to support lighthouses and carry out the reliefs for the lightkeepers. But with the advent of a helicopter, it made reliefs far more sustainable and frequent, and there was really no need for a ship to be full-time based with 40 crew on board. So the Iarnaigh was sold out of service, I think it was around 1972, and we all moved back to Dublin with her. And I mean on her. I remember the ship anchoring in Dunleary Harbour, and I was going to my new school, Willow Park, which was the junior school to Blackrock College. And I'd been living in West Cork, and I developed quite a West Cork accent, I can tell you, from living on the ship and going to school in West Cork in Castletown Bear. And anchored in the middle of Dunleary Harbour, a quartermaster bringing me, getting into the ship's launch, into the harbour, the quartermaster bringing me up to the number 7 bus, brought me to the gates of college, which my father had told him where it was. So there he was with his full uniform on. There's me holding his hand, and he brought me up to the gates of the school. And I remember I walked into this massive school. I was quaking going into it. I was really happy living in West Cork. And the first guy I met saying, "Could you tell me where 6th class is? Get up the yard, you redneck," is what he said to me. And I'd brought Dublin accent leaving that day, I can tell you. And that's what we did for about 3 weeks, till the tenants of the house, which we had rented out before we went to Castletown, were leaving. So very happy memories of actually West Cork, the Iarnaigh. I was 12, I think, at that stage. But certainly Irish Lights and the people and the lighthouses, the ships, the smells of a ship really got to me. And I knew from that age, I knew before that, but I certainly knew from that age, that I want to be in Irish Lights. I want this to be my career. I want to work on the ships in Irish Lights. And I've been really, really lucky, and I think I'm unique to a certain extent, that I've ended up exactly where I wanted to be after everything that life has thrown, you know.
You had the the salt water in your veins, really, from an early stage. But there's a great tradition, isn't there, of families passing on tradition within. It's the kind of the central core of what Irish Lights, the history of Irish Lights, I suppose, and what it's all about.
We were very much an organisation, very family-based. And it, people might have called it nepotism, but I don't believe it was nepotism. We were growing up in houses where our parents, and mothers included, were so involved with the lighthouse service that it was second nature to us. And when we all became of job-seeking age, it wasn't that it was the easiest one. It was because we knew so much about it and already had a feeling or a link towards Irish Lights and felt that this was the job for us. And as you've alluded to, it was in our depot in Dunleary. It was on all the ships that we had, and it was amongst our lighthouses. And to this day, the family members are remain there, probably the last generation, and certainly with lightkeepers, as lighthouses are automated. But there's grandchildren of lighthouse keepers going back hundreds of years who are still lighthouse attendants in Irish Lights. So it's very much kept, has been kept within the family. Although more recently, as you know, people have moved on and unfortunately died off, we don't have the same family traditions anymore. The buildings are fantastic, and I wouldn't be a building lover, but when I see something nice, it draws my eyes to it. And some people may be aware of the beautiful buildings on our land-based lighthouses. Minehead is a bit difficult to get to, but you will even see Yall, right? Not huge, but there are fantastic buildings associated with the lighthouse of Yall. Roach's Point, people will see it if they go to Myrtleville, to Bunny Canellan's, look across at the Roach's Point, which has fantastic buildings, which were for our lightkeepers associated with us. The offshore stations, as you mentioned, Bull Rock, Skelligs, Tyrucht, Eagle Island, Rockabill, Mew Island, Tory Island, Rathlin O'Byrne and Rathlin Island. These have all got these marvellous, fantastic, built forever buildings with them. And their own Carrigmore, I would have to mention that as well. They're, some of them are big lighthouses, some of them are small lighthouses, but the buildings are actually fantastic and they were built to last. And when you consider the effort, the expertise, the logistics in building those without helicopters, without cranes, without any of this thing, they were done by ships, by boats and by manpower. And the ingenuity in actually shifting those blocks and putting them one on top of the other, and the buildings remaining today is a testament to what went into it. But we are moving on. And technology has caught up with us all, and we have to move with technology, and we really have to. So we started by automating lighthouses. We finished our automation programme in 1994. So therefore, the need for all these buildings that we had were really not necessary. We didn't have such a need for them anymore. Lightkeepers were gone. However, automation wasn't quite so smooth as we might have expected it to be, in that it was at its infancy, communications were breaking down. Our lighthouses were then powered by diesel generators. Most had three. So they required quite a bit of maintenance. The buildings themselves required quite a bit of maintenance. So there was still quite a lot of human activity, even after the lighthouses were unmanned at the lighthouses. And in fact, if we had some trouble, some lighthouses, you would find maintenance crews out there with the lighthouse attendant, which is great, for an awful lot of the year. I often remember going up the west coast of Ireland maybe 4 or 5 years ago and calling each lighthouse, and it was as if they were manned again. There was somebody on every one of them. But technology has really taken off a pace now, and we are solarising big time. All our buoys are solarised and they're very, very, very stable. Lighthouses, the solarisation programme is working with the lighthouses. So really you have a big array of solar panels powering a bank of batteries, which is enough to produce long range lights on our lighthouses. So we've come to the stage now where we have started to, what we call in Irish Lights, is consolidate. That means we are depending on the solar energy. We have a backup generator, but we only ever switch it on just to make sure the generator works. Now, because of that, There's no need for all the outbuildings, the beautiful buildings that the lightkeepers have. But those buildings come at quite a cost. And if you think that the ship owner and in more recent times the taxpayer is contributing a small amount to the lighthouse service, we can't have them pay for these buildings which are really of no value. I think maybe Irish Heritage might have an interest in them. But as regards our mission, which is to provide aids to navigation to the ship owner, unfortunately the buildings aren't part of that anymore. So our consolidation is really bringing us back to the tower, the aid to navigation and all that we can provide with it. And that's what we're heading for. And we will be making a responsible withdrawal from these buildings over the course of the next few years. It's the next part of the plan.
Ripples in the water of the rock pool, sun. Ripples in the water of the rock pool, sun. Ripples in the water of the rock pool, sun. And the boats are in for winter. Donal an Cogge, will you marry me? Donal an Cogge, will you marry me? Donal an Cogge, will you marry me? Will I carry your three children? Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes rolling into Connemara. Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes rolling into Connemara. Donal an Cogge, will you sail with me? Donal an Cogge, will you sail with me? Donal an Cogge, will you sail with me from here to Faakaranya? I can feel the tide falling in the rain, I can feel the tide falling in the rain. I can feel the tide falling in the rain, but the wind is surely rising. Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes rolling into Connemara. Ripples in the rock pools, ripples in the sea, ripples in the sand dunes rolling into Connemara.
Irish Lights marks the dangers for general navigation around the whole coast of Ireland. That's Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. We have to provide safe navigation for general shipping around the coasts of Ireland. Now, we have some, at the last count, we have some 140 buoys with 70 lighthouses. The Grainne Whale's job is to support all the offshore lighthouses, of which there's 7 or 8, and all the buoyage, maintain and service all the buoyage for the safe navigation of trade, marine trade, to and from the shores of Ireland. The Grainne Whale is different in that our previous ships, if anybody knows Irish Lights, we have beautiful lighthouse tenders. And you look at the Grainne Whale and she's more like an offshore supply vessel. And this was done really on purpose. We had to move to less accommodation and more working space. Because if you think the Grainne Whale took over ultimately from 4 ships, then 3, then 2, and now she's on her own doing all the work that those ships used to do and a lot more. So she was built in the year 2000 and designed in-house by our retired now Inspector Maroon Superintendent Captain Hickey, who had a vision. And if you think, we were the only ones to do this, so it was a big risk for him to take to design a ship like the Grainne Whale. But with a very small in-house team, the Grainne Whale was designed and her design was accepted by our own board members, but by Trinity House and Northern Lights, who had a lot of reservations. It was a risk. It was a risk that has paid off tenfold. And the success of that risk is that both Northern Lights and Trinity House built Grainne Whales. And that their brief was, when they saw how successful the Grainne Whale was, and the brief was this: you're to go and build a Grainne Whale, and if you can find improvements, make them. And I'm delighted to sit here to say they built a Grainne Whale. They didn't seem to build her with a lot of improvements. There weren't a lot of improvements necessary. So, in fact, on one particular ship, they tried to outdo the Grainne Whale by making the crane bigger without really thinking that larger cranes are quite unstable for lifting buoys out of the water. So they've put a lot of extra stress, I think, actually, on their crews. But the Grainne Whale is spot on for what she does now. She really is. So we've come from smaller ships a long way back to a much bigger ship, more powerful ship, multi-purpose ship, to do the coast of Ireland. I'm very proud to have been selected as the master of that particular ship. The ship really is solely responsibility for the maintenance and provision of the aids to navigation around the coast of Ireland. Buoyage much more now than lighthouse support. Now, we are supported by a team back in our depot in Dunleary who actually fabricate buoys and make them ready for the ship to put to sea. Those buoys that you will see around the coast of Ireland, they used to be changed out every year. Then we went to 2 years. Then it went to 4 years. We now have those, because the production is so good, we have those buoys now 6 years, and we might even keep them out for 10. We call it condition-based maintenance. The grania whale attends every 2 years. But the weak link in a buoy is actually the chain. The chain wears out quicker than a buoy ever will. And the moorings, we would be repairing moorings every second year, probably. We are, however, trialling new types of moorings, rope moorings, that might need the same amount of buoy attendance. So again, technology's moved on. Buoys are getting better and more reliable. But the grania whales, a lot of the grania whales' work is taken up with that. But in addition to buoys and lighthouses, we have quite a lot of sandbanks, for argument's sake, on the east coast of Ireland, and sandbanks actually move. So the grania whale will carry out hydrographic surveys over this bank just to ensure that we Irish Lights are marking the buoys effectively. And in fact, the last survey we did of the Glasgorman bank showed that the bank had moved some half a mile southwards. So we moved our buoy to the south, half a mile southwards, to ensure that it was adequately marked. That's just another one of the jobs that the grania whale does. It has been recognised, though, that because of the improvement in technology and reliability of our services with buoys and lighthouses, that we have some surplus time with the grania whale. And it's now been indicated at maybe about 100 days per year. And we're allowed under statute with this 100 days to go and seek some commercial work. And the grania whale is involved in quite a bit of commercial work now, but only ever up to 100 days, because our statutory job and our core business is aids to navigation, which we have to make sure that all that is right. Contract works always comes after the statutory work and the core business has been carried out. And the grania whale and myself have been involved with some of the most interesting projects, which stuff I never thought. My father's still alive, just can't get over the direction in which we've gone with Irish Lights and the interesting work that we carry out now with some of these contracts. We had quite a high profile one last year with the Lusitania. National Geographic actually made a 2-hour documentary on the grania whale. Really, the story could have been about the grania whale at the end of that. Very successful project for us. Unfortunately, I don't think there's a huge knowledge of the sea or what's happening around the coasts of Ireland. Programmes like yourself, promoted, of course, and some of the paper publications and some of the marine publications. But there doesn't seem to be a great awareness. And actually now, more than ever, there's an awful lot going out around our coast. And it's amazing to see some of the really intelligent Irish people that have now turned to the sea in marine entrepreneurialism. And in fact, I think I just told you about a contract that we're currently taking up off the west coast of Scotland, outside of Irish waters, fully Irish project. Everybody involved with that project, down to the ship, which we are providing, the main contractor is Irish. The subcontractors are Irish. This is an Irish project. The Holland one is part of all this. Irish. Good news story, but who's actually going to hear about it? Are we bad at promoting the sea? I believe we always have. I don't think I don't believe there's any real perception in the highest parts of Ireland about our maritime history. We even have a maritime heritage. I would say recently we were involved with a very big project. It was a Coast Guard exercise, but it was very, very state-of-the-art exercise down on the River Shannon. It didn't make the news. There was an RTE camera crew on board, actually, but it never made the news that night because something else had topped it, and I can completely understand that. But I believe things like that should be shown. It's actually... these are good news stories that are happening in Ireland. And I think in today's world, we need some good news stories. And there's a lot of good news stories happening around the coasts of Ireland. For instance, I don't know if people realise that wave energy is now in its infancy. And we have a wave energy site marked off Eagle Island. There is huge international interest in this. And again, this has been Irish-led, Irish-run. Who knows about it? Very few people, I suspect, know about it. So when you ask, going back to your question, backs turned to the sea, they are. But I think if we could get it a little bit out there, I think our backs would start to face the sea. Slowly but surely, I would hope.
Is there a part of our coastline that's special for you?
If you ask me, do I have a favourite? I've got four or five favourites. Each part of the coast is different. Really lucky in this country to have such a diverse coastline, in that the East Coast, as you say, Dublin Bay, I particularly enjoy working on the ship in Dublin Bay, and I'm out there quite a bit, looking back into the bay and the Wicklow Mountains, Howth and everything, and you know, down to Dalkey Island, down to Bray Head, Wicklow Head. There is just something, there's something calming about the East Coast of Ireland. Yet when you see the mountains in the background, I just think it's quite a beautiful vista myself. But then you move down along the south coast. It's nearly a bland coast going from, I would always say Arklow, down around to Cork Harbour. And it really starts getting quite racy again from Cork Harbour right the way around to the mouth of the Shannon. It is just so spectacular. And actually last week, for some reason, the sun shone. It got terribly bright. And I was privileged to be working in what felt like, to me and my crew, we all commented on this, passing the Blaskets one beautiful morning. They said, it's like a John Hyde postcard. The sea was turquoise, the waves breaking onto the rocks, the white collar around the Blasket Islands was absolutely fantastic. And I must admit, I love it. I love the raggedness of the whole place. After that, and you usually get bad weather around there and you look at all these beautiful sights, I always love getting into the Shannon as well. And in fact, you can smell springtime sometimes at the mouth of the Shannon, you know, the smells coming off the fields and the rolling fields. And it's out of this the majestic mountains, but into much softer countryside again. And as I say, it's even different again. You leave the Shannon and go up to Connemara. The colours are so different. The 12 pins in the background. It's very calming up there again. To me, I find it very, very calming up there. And again, there's different smells coming off the place. You know, as you asked me, I'd never really thought about it in this way, but as I'm bringing myself around the coast, I do realise that most of the coastline in Ireland is my favourite place. There isn't a least favourite. But I mentioned places like the Shannon and into the fjords, estuaries, into the cuts, the big bays that we have there. You know, there's nothing better than on a filthy night and you've been 12 hours at it now, getting bashed around the place, getting into the likes of Castletown Bear and everything calms down again and dropping anchor and say, right, it's lovely and safe in here and looking out at the mountains and Bear Island, places like that. And we've got quite a few bays that we certainly in Irish Lights use to break for shelter. Now, I haven't mentioned Donegal, but, you know, the beaches that we've seen around Donegal, and again, the little bays, the islands, the lovely white houses on some of these islands, life going on around the coast of Ireland. We're really living in a lucky place, and I'm particularly lucky to have seen quite a lot of it. I love being at sea. I love all aspects of being at sea. Most summers, myself and a couple of friends, and more recently my family, we would hire a yacht from the Sun Sails of this world and sail around the Greek islands. So that's really getting back to it. And I love that. And I'm not the captain of that ship. My son looks after that ship, or my friends look after that ship, but I'm a good cook on board that ship. And so I look after the people with the food when I'm on those sort of trips. Huge break for me. I really enjoy that part of it. I have, and it's not going to go, and I really have to do it. It's on the bucket list for me, actually, is I have to go to the Antarctic. Maybe like a lot of other people, but I really feel that if I did that, you know, I'm so interested in all things Antarctic and Scott, Shackleton, Amundsen, and all the Antarctic exploration. I'm really mad keen to see it.
Captain Dermot Gray, master of the Grainne Whale, the flagship of the Commissioners of Irish Lights. And you can find out more about the Commissioners on their website, which is www.cil.ie. This coming week sees Heritage Week being celebrated throughout the country with access to public buildings, coastal tours, and if you check the Heritage Council website, which is www.heritageweek.ie, or visit your local tourist office, you can get all the information you require. This weekend at the Custom House in the Port of Cork, I'll be giving a talk on our maritime heroes from Bransfield to Crean to Crozier, Admirals Brown and Barry, John Philip Holland, Ernest Shackleton, John de Courcy Ireland and Damien Foxhall. The talk begins at 2 p.m. on Saturday, To book, you should call 021 4625 375. That's 021 4625 375. Also, you can visit the Irish Naval Service Coastal Patrol vessel, the Elly Kira, on Albert Quay between 10 a.m. and 12:30 and between 2 and 5 p.m. Well-known open water swimmer Steve Redmond from Ballydehob in Cork is setting out on a record-breaking challenge to raise funds and awareness for the RNLI. He plans to depart from Rosslare in County Wexford in the early hours of next Friday morning, the 23rd of August, weather permitting, and swim non-stop to Wales, arriving in St David's approximately 35 hours later. To donate to Steve's swim in the aid of the RNLI, you can go to www.mycharity.ie/event/IrelandToWales2013, and there'll be details of that on the Seascapes webpage. Talking of swims, earlier today, Fermoy swimmer Owen O'Keefe took off from Fermoy Rowing Club to swim the Blackwater to Youghal. You can follow the swim on Twitter via @DonalBuckley, and you can also track progress with the Sandycove Island Swimming Club Spot Tracker. Next Friday night here on Seascapes, we'll have details on the latest edition of Irish Angler from David Dinsmore. The All-Ireland Coastal Rowing Championships are taking place next weekend at Carnlough Rowing Club. Kinsale Yacht Club gears up for the IFDS Disabled Sailing World Championships. We'll preview the event with Paralympian and IFDS President John Toomey. And a listener shares a close encounter with a submarine following last week's story from Larry Butler. All that and much more here on Seascapes. Until next Friday night, tight lines and fair sailing.